speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We suggested on Monday that preachers have an important place to fill with respect to lost souls. God saw fit to use them in making His gospel known. And it's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1, verse 16. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So we're told that it's God's plan to save men by preaching. And preaching fills a great place in the Lord's scheme of things. And preachers have a tremendous responsibility to speak forth the Word of God and to tell people what is necessary in becoming a Christian. For that reason, we have been asking a series of questions this week under the overall theme of Ask Your Preacher. So we're asking you regarding a number of different religious practices and religious doctrines and religious names that you ask your preacher about a number of these things. For example, today, ask your preacher where preachers in the Bible were ever called by the title of reverend or doctor or rabbi or father. The practice is quite general in religious circles today. We constantly read in the papers of men who are called by these terms. We read of Reverend Smith or Reverend Jones, or in some cases even the Right Reverend Smith, or we read of Dr. So-and-so, or Father Hezekiah, or Father whatever the name might be. But where can such things be found in the Bible? Did you ever read of the Reverend Apostle Peter, the Reverend Apostle Paul, or the Right Reverend Barnabas? Can you recall a passage of Scripture that speaks of Dr. James or Dr. John? No reference is made to the degree of the doctor, whether it's a doctor of medicine or a doctor of literary attainment. But the prevalent use of such educational degrees in referring to men engaged in religious work seems to ignore the principle of humility as taught by the Savior. And religious doctors are altogether unscriptural. They are important matters in which we ought to be interested. I do recall that the word reverend does occur one time in the Bible. It's found in Psalms 111, verse 9, and here's what it says. "He has sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name." Now, in this language of David, we learn that reverend is descriptive of God's name. What right, then, does man have to wear a term that is given only to God? And as to other titles worn by preachers, note this statement from our Savior. "But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." That's found in Matthew chapter 23, verse 8 and verse 9. Could you think of instruction that is plainer? Jesus simply says for His people not to be called rabbi. We have but one master, that is Christ. Why then will any man call himself rabbi, or have himself called and addressed as reverend? And why will men call him that? Perhaps it's because they do not know that Jesus said not to do it. But this is exactly what He said. And why will some people call a religious leader father? I may not know why people do so, but I do know that Jesus said to call no man upon earth your father. These men who take this title to themselves are upon the earth. Jesus certainly includes them. And we have but one Father, that is God. We should not give human beings that honor, the honor that's due God only. But maybe your preacher knows of a passage that I may have overlooked. So if he wears the title Reverend or Doctor or Rabbi or Father, ask him where he gets his authority in the Bible for doing so. And if it's in the Bible, he will be able to tell you where to find it. And if he tells you there is no such authority in the Bible, then ask him why he wears such a title and call his attention to what Jesus said about it. Now, I heard recently that there's a good reason for wearing the title Rev, R-E-V, that is, that preachers rest, eat, and visit. Well, that's not in the Scriptures, though. So ask your preacher. And again, another question, ask your preacher where the Bible says it makes no difference what a person believes, just so he is honest and sincere about it. I'm reasonably certain that you have heard a statement similar to that, and probably many times. I've heard that it makes no difference what people believe, that if they're just honest and sincere about it, God will save them, regardless what they're doing. And perhaps you may have even made the statement sometimes. But certainly, likely you've heard some preacher say the same thing. So won't you go to your preacher and ask him for the verse in the Bible that says something like that? That it doesn't matter what a person believes as long as he's sincere, as long as he's honest in what he's doing. Likely, you've heard that statement made because you've heard preachers make it. And you thought it must be so, but if your preacher has been making it, he must have some other reason for it. He claims to be following and teaching the Bible, doesn't he? He should make the statement because the Bible says so, and if the Bible does say so, he will know where it says it. So ask him to give you the Bible book, the chapter, and the verse. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and verse 12, we have this statement from the Apostle Paul. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This seems to be a very plain statement. It positively says that some would believe a lie. Certainly, there is a vast difference between believing a lie and believing the truth. Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth is recorded in the Word of God, and if it's not taught in the Word of God, it's certainly not the truth. But does it make any difference which of these one believes? The general idea is that it does not matter, just as long as one is sincere. Of course, he could not believe anything unless he is sincere. He might pretend to believe a thing and be insincere about it, but if he actually believes it, he must be sincere. Paul speaks of men who are sincere, for he says they will believe a lie. But what of their sincerity? Will that atone for their mistake? Would God save them anyway, just as long as they were sincere, just as long as they were honest about it? Have you ever noticed what Paul said? Did he say they all would be saved? No, that's not what it says. Read it again in verse 11, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Notice the word damned. This means the very opposite of being saved. Yet Paul said certain men would be under condemnation. They would be damned. But who were these? Those who believed a lie. It wasn't those who believed the truth. So it seems that Paul thought it made a difference what a person believes. And he evidently thought so, for he taught that for one to be saved, he must believe the truth. To believe something else, he declared, would result in damnation, regardless of how sincere the person might be. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, we read this statement, "And if a man also strives for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strives lawfully." Now, when people say it makes no difference what we believe, they'll often lead, we're all striving for the same place anyway. And evidently this is true, we are striving to reach heaven. But is striving the only thing that's necessary in order to reach that glorious reward? This is all that would be necessary if it makes no difference what we believe. But Paul tells us in this passage that striving alone is not sufficient. That a man may strive and still not be crowned, except he strive lawfully. The crowning referred to is the eternal reward in heaven, the crown of glory that fadeth not away. But a man may strive and fail to get that crown. Why? Because he may not strive according to the rules. He may not strive lawfully. No one can reach that crown, Paul says, unless he does strive lawfully. Now, what does it mean to strive lawfully? It means to strive to exert effort according to the law of the Lord. If we strive, we exert effort contrary to that law, we will not be crowned, regardless of how sincere we might be. The law of the Lord is not as revealed in the New Testament. And if we strive to go to heaven by some other way, we're not striving lawfully, we'll not reach the destination we desire. The statement made by Paul clearly indicates that it does make a difference what a person believes and what he practices in religion. But if your preacher says it makes no difference, just ask him where in the Bible it says so. Ask your preacher. He is one who represents the law of the Lord. He's one that claims to be preaching the gospel. So ask him these things. And we would urge you to accept only the Word of God. Christ said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." What He said to those unbelieving Jews in John 8, verse 34, is still true. Verse 24, rather, that we must believe in Christ. God now commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. We need to confess Christ. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. We need to be faithful unto death if we want that crown of life. Revelation 2, verse 10. And if one is an erring child of God, he needs to repent and pray God for forgiveness. And he needs to follow only the Word of God. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.